Some of those ages may have been different from you than from others. It may have been at 15 years old when Dad knows nothing. I don't know, but nevertheless, we are grateful for all of our fathers today. Thank you for being here and for letting us worship together. We've been going through the life of David. Today, we conclude that series with this title and this message from 1 Chronicles 28 of a forward legacy, a legacy in which we are to leave. We're to constantly be moving forward. What we found in this series is that we are to be moving forward in our faith boldly for the glory of God. Never maintain the status quo, always moving forward, seeking to grow in that next step, always seeking to be more and doing more for the glory of God. So as we think about this idea of legacy, let me ask you this question. So what are you, don't answer this out loud, but what are you planning on leaving your children? What are you planning on leaving your grandchildren? Are you planning on leaving anything to the church? Are you planning on leaving anything to your Sunday school class? Are you planning on leaving anything to other ministries of the gospel? Are you planning on leaving, how about leaving something for your neighbors? Are you going to leave something for the people at work? How about leaving something for the folks at school? How about leaving something for the guy that you speak to at Sam's or the girl who waits on you at Starbucks? Pastor, are you nuts? Well, maybe. Why would I want to leave something to these people that I barely know? And if I did, I don't have that much after all. Well, oh, but here's the thing. You do have more than you think. You see, what I'm speaking about today is not material stuff, but it's the stuff that you are made of. It's called a legacy. And so you will leave all of those folks with something. But what will it be? And so what we find here today is that David is at the end of his life. And he leaves a legacy. He leaves words of wisdom and that are backed up with years of faithfulness. And that's a legacy in which he is leaving. And we'll see that as he speaks to the people there in Israel. As he is at the end of his life, the very last time that he speaks here in this passage of Scripture, he speaks also not only to the leaders of Israel, but also to his son Solomon. And so he's telling them these words of wisdom, and he's showing them in his instruction, but also by the way he has lived his life, a legacy in which he is passing behind. So here's what we need to do is we need to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 12, and then we will jump right into the message. So in honor and reverence to the Word of God, if you'd stand as I read for us, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, picking up verse 1, going through verse 12. Y'all glad to be here this morning? Amen?
Amen.
All right, just checking. All right, so now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. And then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and you've shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I'll be his father. Moreover, I'll establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. And as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." And then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for how it speaks to us. And as we look now, as we come to the end of the life of David, these words that he spoke, that are words that reflect a legacy in which he lived, I pray, Father, that we would be challenged by this, that we too would be men and women after your own heart. Lord, that we would seek to be found faithful in all things. Lord, that we would end our race well. But Lord, that as we look toward that day when we will end our race, may we live it out and race well while we're still here. Father, I pray that you'd guide us and direct us. I pray that you'd make all of our hearts vulnerable to what we need to hear, what we need to understand. I pray, Father, that if there are those here that don't know Jesus as their Savior, to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life today, the one who saves us, and no one comes to the Father but through him. I pray that this would be that day of salvation. I pray also, Father, for those of us who are your believers. Maybe we've become comfortable in our walk with you. I pray, Lord, that today you would stir us up. Maybe you've taken a back seat to some other things in our lives. I pray that today you'd convict us of those things. And I pray that you'd help us to put you first, make you the priority of our lives. But now, Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, you see the outline for today's message there in your bulletin. I want to fill that out as we move along. And we're going to see here, as we think about this legacy in which David lived and the legacy in which he left. And so we're going to find that for us, we're going to see that this is a legacy that influences. That's the first thing. A legacy that influences. Now, if we look back again, we're going to hone in really of these 12 verses, just a couple of verses, verses 8, 9, and 10. If we look here at verse 8 and the first part of verse 9, we see here again what David is saying to these people. He's gathered these important people, these people who are the higher ranking folks, the leaders in Israel, bringing them together in this last time that he really speaks according to the word, and then also to Solomon. And so we find here what he says here in verse 8 and the first part of verse 9. He says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. And as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father." And we'll stop right there for now. And we see here that what we see here is that David tells the people of Israel, and he tells his own son Solomon these things. He says, look, seek out God's commands and do his will. He says, have the faith of the one true living God, the faith that David himself had. He says, to be obedient to this God, the one true living God. And to Solomon, he says, know the God of your father, to know him. Now, what David is talking about to his son Solomon is not so much that it's just a head knowledge that you didn't know who this God is, but you need to know him. You need to really know the God of your father. To know him here means to be in a relationship with him, to have a relationship with him that's real and personal. It is to experience him. It is to be involved with him. It is to be intimate and to be personal with this God, because there is no other God. Amen? To be real and personal, to have this relationship, to know him. So David is saying to Solomon, look, Solomon, you need to know the God of your father. Know him intimately. Have this relationship with him. He's telling Solomon to have faith in this one true God by knowing him in a relationship that is real and that is personal. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of knowing him. So David was leaving this legacy of his faith by telling his son to follow the living God. You might say, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like influence. That sounds like instruction. Well, you're right about that. There is instruction where he's telling him, but it comes from a life that he has lived. David not only told him to have this faith, but he had also shown Solomon by his life a life of faith. Y'all with me this morning? Amen? Y'all, awful quiet. I'm going to work on you, all right? We see here now, he says, no. Now I want you to notice this. As we think about David and Solomon, He says to Solomon, know the God of your father. Did you notice something there? He tells him how he's to know him, to be in a relationship with him, but he doesn't say who the God is. You see, David didn't have to tell, watch this, David did not have to tell Solomon which God or which faith, because Solomon did not have to question which God that it was that David worshiped, because David made it very clear who his God was. Amen? He lived that life out by faith. And so Solomon didn't have to ask the question. David says, know the God of your father. He didn't have to say the one true living God. It's the only one God that David worships. He lived that life out in front of Solomon. He didn't keep his faith a secret. He was living a legacy of faith by his example and with his words. He was open with everyone about his faith. Even though there were plenty of false gods that were all around, it was obvious who the God of David was. Now here's the thing. Solomon had seen his father in an intimate relationship with the Lord. It was very clear to him who his father's God is or was. Beloved, here's the question. What are others seeing in us? Is it very clear to the people that we are closest to, the people that we come in contact with, as to who our God is? It is clear, but is it the God of the Scripture? It is the God of the self. Amen? Who's God? Who is it? Who is the God that you serve? The one true living God or the gods of this world? Do those around you know of your faith? Not which church you attend. Listen now. Do they know of your faith? Do they know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Not which church do you attend or how active you are in that church or which podcast you might listen to, but when they see you, listen, when they see you, when they hear from you, when they talk to you, do they see in you and know from you that you are a man or a woman, a dad or a mom, a grandfather or grandmother who loves the Lord Jesus with all your heart and does everything within your power to live like Jesus and knowing that He, Jesus, truly is the Lord and Master of your life? Because, beloved, that's how we influence people, is by the lives in which we live. Amen? Living that life in front of other people, a life of faith. Are you influencing those around you to live the faith? Not just instructing them, even though that is important to tell, but also to live that life out in front of other people. Secondly, we see here, not only does David show us here that he influences this legacy, but also he has a legacy that inspires. That inspires. Hey, who is it who has inspired you in your life? Who is it that you have seen in your lifetime who has inspired you to do something great or to be what God has called you to be? Who is it who has inspired you in your walk somehow, in your vocation, in your family life? Who is it who's inspired you? Has it been a great leader, a political leader? Has it been a great military leader? Has it been a great leader of the denomination or the church? Has it been someone great there? Or has it been a teacher who has helped to mold you and shape you, who has really inspired you to be what you're made out to be and bent to be? Is it someone who is like your parent or your grandparent or a friend, someone who has inspired? Who has inspired you? And let's flip that around and ask, who are you inspiring? And what is it that you are inspiring others to do? What are you inspiring your family and the loved ones to do? What is it that your life is showing to the people who are closest to you, that you're inspiring them to be great in the faith? You know, do you not know that if the way in which you live your life as a believer will be modeled in your children? That your children and your grandchildren likely will have a faith typically like yours. Inspire them to be great men and women of God. Amen? Inspire them to be great men and women of God of faith. And so what David is telling David here, David is telling Solomon here in verse 9, he says to be faithful to the Lord. I want you to notice what he says there in the next part of verse 9. He says, for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, watch this, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. He says, Solomon, you need to serve him. Serve the God that is my God. Serve the God of your father. Serve him. Serving him means to follow him. It means to obey him. It means to worship him, to do what he says to do, to be obedient to everything that he desires for you to do, to follow him, to serve him. Serve him. That means that he's the master and you are the servant. He's the king and you are the subject. You are to, you do, Solomon, look, do all that he says for you to do. You will do all that he says. It's what David is known as a man after God's own heart. He had that life of inspiring his son and inspiring others to be a man after God's own heart, to be a person after God's own heart, to serve him, to follow this one true living God. He says to serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. To serve with a loyal heart. What does that mean to have a loyal heart? To have a loyal heart means that it is a perfect heart. It's a heart that is whole. It is a heart that's wholly dedicated to the Lord. It's a heart that's completely devoted to the Lord. It's not a divided heart, but it's a whole heart. It's not wavering between two loyalties. It is a heart that is as an act of worship, follows only the Lord God Almighty, as seen in David. He's saying, look, Solomon, you serve him, follow him, worship him, obey him with a loyal heart. Not a divided heart, but a loyal heart that's dedicated, devoted completely to him. Having that loyal heart. Friends, what are the loyalties of our hearts? What's the loyalties of your heart? Is it completely dedicated to the Lord, or are there different loyalties? Are we going after every shiny thing? Are we going after those things that the world seems to offer? What is it? Where is our heart? Where are the loyalties of our heart? Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other, that you cannot serve God and mammon. Beloved, this world is constantly calling and vying for our attention. There are things in this world that the devil wants us to go after, the flesh wants us to go after, but we need to make sure that our hearts maintain that loyalty to Christ. Amen? Amen. Loyalty to Christ. Let our hearts be divided, but wholly devoted and dedicated to him. So what's the legacy that you will leave? What is it that people see in you? What will your family see? Were your loyalties in life? What are you inspiring them and others to know? What are you inspiring and others to do and to be? Are you serving the Lord with a loyal heart? But also he says to Solomon, serve him, follow him, obey him with a loyal heart, a devoted heart, but with also a willing mind. What does that mean to have a willing mind? It means that one who takes delight in, who has a desire. It means to, he says, when he says serve him with a willing mind, it means, Solomon, you need to serve him because you delight in him. And you're not going to be able to delight in him unless you have a relationship with him. Amen? Serve him with a loyal heart that's devoted to him, but also delights in him. You have this desire to serve him because you delight him. So serve him, follow him, obey him with this devotion, which is the loyal heart, and a desire, which is a willing mind. So how are you inspiring others around you to have great faith? Do they see you in your faith just being busy with activity? Or will others see in you someone who is following Jesus out of a love for him, out of worship, and out of a devotion and desire? Beloved, listen, I want to serve the Lord not because I have to, but because I want to. Amen? That's why we want to serve him. That's why we want to follow him. That's why we want to obey him. Not because we have to, but because we delight in him and we want to and we get to. What a privilege to serve the mighty King of all kings. Years ago, a long time ago, I went to Ridgecrest, and I remember hearing a preacher who was the preacher for the week at the camp. And I remember him telling about how he confided in another minister one time, and he was talking about how he was going through a difficult time. And he was struggling, and he had some difficult people and some complainers in his church. Of course, we don't have those at Mount Pleasant, praise God, but nevertheless, he's dealing with all these difficulties and all these people, and it's just weighing so heavy. And so he confides in this fellow minister, and he says to him, man, I don't know why in the world I put up with this. I don't know why I'm doing all this work. Why am I doing what I am doing? And that fellow minister looked at him and he said, brother, listen. Here's why we do what we do. We do what we do. We do it because we love Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's why we proclaim. That's why we work. That's why we go forth, because we love Jesus. And listen, brother, he said, and if it's not because we love Jesus, then we will grow to be bitter old men. Love, this is why we do what we do, because we love Jesus. We do things, we serve him, not because we have to, but because we want to. Amen? Because we get to, because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve out of love for him, not because we have to, not out of a habit, not out of a tradition, or because it's how I was raised, but rather with a loyal heart that's devoted to him because we delight in him and we love him. So David here was telling Solomon to make sure, Solomon, that your loyalties and your desires are straight and you serve him because you love him. You're in a relationship with him. Serve him because you love him. And Solomon, be sold out to him completely. Be all in with the Lord. As you continually serve him, do so willingly with delight and with joy. And so David also tells Solomon to be true to the Lord and to live that life of faithfulness. If you look in the rest of verse 9, he says, know the God of our fathers, serve him with a loyal mind and willing loyal heart and willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. As we come to that, we know that David certainly knew that the Lord knows our hearts. Amen? David knew that firsthand. The Lord knows our hearts. He understands the intents of our thoughts. So in other words, what he is saying to Solomon here is, Solomon, look, Solomon, our life is exposed to God's inspection. It's one thing to say that you love the Lord. It's one thing to follow through with emotions and serving the Lord. But look, you need to understand something, Solomon. God exposes your heart. He knows what's in your heart. Inspect your heart, Solomon, and know that our life is exposed by God's inspection. So live that life out. God knows your heart. Certainly David knew that as he remembered how God had convicted him of his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. And he knew that nothing escapes the sight of God. So what he is saying to Solomon, Solomon, look, stay faithful. It's a legacy in which I'm trying to leave. David saying to Solomon, stay faithful. Seek him because he is the one true living God. Now, as we come to this passage, we have to remember that David is about to pass away. He is at the end of his life. So David is about to pass away here. And so what he is saying to not only his son Solomon, but to all the people of Israel who has placed a lot of their dependence, a lot of their hope on a mighty king, a King David. David, who's getting ready to leave this world, he is wanting them to understand some things. And he is saying to them, look, you need to know this. As he's speaking these words of wisdom to them, words that we need to hear today. Look, know who and know where your hope really is. David is saying, look, your hope is not in mere man whose life becomes dust. No, your hope is in the one who made us from the dust. Amen? That's where our hope is. You see, he's saying, look, know where your real hope rests. Your real hope rests not in man's power and wisdom because they are limited, but God's power and wisdom are infinite. Man will not always be around, but God never leaves. Amen? That's where our hope is. It's not in man. It's not in the things of this world. No, our hope is found in Jesus Christ, in the one true living God. That's where our hope is, in the Lord God Almighty. And we're to be faithful to him. So, beloved, listen, inspire your family, inspire your friends, inspire your neighbors and the man at Sam's, to have great faith by living a life of faithfulness, devotion with a desire to follow him because of what he has done for you. David knew what the Lord had done for him. David knew that he had called him from the sheep fields and anointed him to be the king over Israel. David knew that God had given him courage and strength and faith to overcome the lions and to overcome the bears and to overcome the giants. David knew that God had protected him from Saul's attacks. David knew that God had given him a loyal friend in Jonathan. David knew that God had strengthened him to extend grace to one who wanted him dead, namely Saul, the king. He saw, also David knew that God had seen his sin, called him out for sin, but yet showed him mercy and forgave him. David knew that God had made a covenant of grace with him, promising the throne would endure forever through him, and therefore the Messiah would be born from his family line. And he knew that the Lord had been faithful to him. He knew this, that God had been good to him. The Lord was his shepherd, and he shall not want. David had experienced that firsthand. And beloved, listen. So have we. Amen? We have experienced his grace. We have experienced his mercy. We have experienced his faithfulness. So we are to live that life, that legacy behind of being faithful to the Lord. But also here we see a picture of God's grace and mercy very clearly here. It's not on the screen, but if you go back to verse 5. And you see in verse 5, it tells us here that David is saying, of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And that's very interesting. We really see the grace and the mercy of God here. Maybe you're not picking up on that. Let me help with that. Of all the sons of David, God chose Solomon to reign as the next king. That means that from Solomon would also come the Messiah in that line. So in other words, of all of David's wives and all of David's sons, don't you think it's interesting that God chose the son of Bathsheba to be the next king? The one through whom Jesus would eventually come? Now that's interesting, isn't it? What does that say to us? What does that tell us? Well, there's a lot of things it could tell us, but I think this is one thing it does tell us, and this is it. That failure is not final. Failure is not final. You see, beloved, listen. We serve a God of grace and mercy. And God takes the broken things and makes them new. And God takes our ugliness and our sin, and he transforms us into something beautiful in Jesus Christ. He takes our wretchedness, and we become his treasure. And that blows me away. That is the grace and the mercy of God. Amen? The grace and the mercy of God. So let us be faithful. You say, well, as I think about my legacy, Pastor, as I think about my life, well, it's less than stellar. Hey, this is what you need to know, is that God can take that and turn it around. Amen? God restores what the locust has eaten, it says in the book of Joel. No matter where you are, friend, God can take what you've been through and make it beautiful in his sight. But we have to trust him. And turn to him and stay close to him and be faithful to him and live that life of that legacy of pointing people to Jesus, of being an influence and inspiring others to greatness in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been faithful to us. Let us be faithful to him. So then thirdly, we have to leave a legacy that influences, a legacy that inspires, and thirdly, that instills. So instill, here we mean, instill within your family obedience to the Lord. Instill within your family obedience to his call. When we look at verse 10, we see that David says to Solomon, consider now, or look now, or be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Solomon, be strong and do it. So David says to Solomon, he tells Solomon, look, Solomon, God has called you to a task, Solomon. God has chosen you for a purpose, Solomon. God has a plan and he's going to use you, Solomon. Solomon, you be strong and you do what God wants to do in and through your life. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, then you do it. So listen, beloved, as we have influence over other people, as we inspire other people, we must also instill within them that they need to be faithful to do whatever it is that God is leading them to do. To do what God has called them to do. To follow hard after God's will. To follow hard after His will. You know, a lot of times I've, in ministry, where I hear of young people who may feel called to go to the mission field, and then there's those people like that older Christian gentleman we talked about last week who told Mr. Patton, you know, if you go, the cannibals are going to eat you. We may mean well, but we'll say, you know, you really have to think about this. I don't know if that's what you want to do or not. Beloved, listen. If God, you feel like God is calling you to the mission field, then you need to go. And so those of us who are believers need to instill that within each other to say, look, be faithful to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Let us pray that God, from the midst of our congregation and from our church, would call out more pastors and more preachers and more missionaries and more chaplains and more church planters. And then when young people or older people step up and say, you know what, I feel a call to go on the mission field, then we need to say, no, don't go. Say, go, by all means go. As God has called you, be faithful and be obedient to His will. Amen? Instill within others the obedience of what God leads you to do. Follow hard after God's will. Not my will, not your will, not daddy's will, not grandma's will, not the preacher's will. You follow the Lord's will, amen? Follow after His will. Do what He wants you to do. Because here's the thing, is that we recognize that you were created with a purpose by God. The Bible tells us that we're knit together in our mother's womb, and He knows our end from the beginning. Praise the Lord for that. He knows what He has for us. He has a plan for us. Be what God has made you to be, and do what He has called you to do. And as we are to leave a legacy behind us, may we instill within our children and those around us to seek the face of God, to seek His will, and to be strong and do it, encouraging them to do whatever God has called them to do. But listen, not only are we supposed to say that to our children, but when God calls you to do something, if you want to instill in them how it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if God calls you to do something that's not very comfortable, then you better do it too. Amen? Amen. Be faithful to it. Let them see that in you. This is not an easy task, but let's go forward because this is what God's called us to do. Let us be faithful in that. Instill that within your children. Instill that within your grandchildren. Instill that within the people around you. Let them see that you're willing to seek the face of God and do whatever He says to do, to be strong and to do it. David instilled that within his children and in Solomon here because he lived that out in his own life. He lived out the purposes of God that God had planned for him, even though he royally messed up in some very horrific ways. In the end, God says about David, I have found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Who will do all my will. That means he will do everything I want him to do. He'll do everything I want him to do. He's obedient to me. So, beloved, let us leave the legacy that we are men and women who are after God's own heart, people who will live that life faithfully, people who point to Jesus, and may we instill that in others to come to Him and to also obey Him completely. Let us leave that legacy, pointing people to Him. But understand something, but a legacy, listen, a legacy doesn't just happen. Some of you are really young here today, and you're thinking, I don't have to listen to this because he's talking about when I get old, leaving a legacy. Now listen, your legacy is lived out day by day from now forward. Amen? We have a legacy. We're living that out now. It must be lived out today. Your legacy is to be lived out now, today. June 17, 2018. You need to live it out today. But guess what? You got to live it out tomorrow too. Live out that life of faith, not on today, but tomorrow. I mean, we're not going to stop there. Tomorrow's Monday. Guess what? You got to live it out the next day, too, on Tuesday. Live out that life of faith, not only on Sunday today and Monday and Tuesday, but guess what? On Wednesday, you go live it out then, too. All the way through the week. All the way through the month. All the way through the year until you see Jesus face to face. We live out that legacy day by day by day. Living a life of faith. Faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Instilling within our kids, our grandkids, people around us, what it is to follow hard after God. To be faithful to Him. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a rough start. But he was a faithful man of God who left a legacy. And as his life drew to a close, he was able to say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, these words. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." You remember last week we also talked about those three guys. David had said, "I sure would love to have some water from the wells of Bethlehem at the gate." And these three guys who were the mighty men, they got out of the cave where David was, where they were thirsty, and they broke through the lines of the Philistines. They went to the gate. They went to get the well. They took the 25-mile round-trip journey. They came back and they gave it to David. And David, instead of drinking it, what does he do? He pours it out as an offering. It was a drink offering. And what we said is that it was something that was precious because of the sacrifice. It was something common that became valuable because of the sacrifice that was made, the price that was paid for it. Beloved, what we need to remember is that the greatest thing that we can give to the Lord, the greatest offering that we can bring to the Lord, is the offering of ourself. And Paul here is saying, "I have been poured out like a drink offering." Let us be poured out and constantly being poured out as drink offerings to the Lord, even as our time is near. Paul says at the end of his life, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. I've done this. I'm doing this. Time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." What a legacy to leave. Amen. May our lives be poured out for Jesus, finishing the race faithfully. This past week, as I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, I heard a lot of preachers preaching, not as many as I wanted to because I had different things I needed to do. But one of the guys, and I don't remember which one said this, was telling about these races that took place back in ancient times, these ancient races, the ancient games. And these men would run these long distances. And as they would run these long distances, especially this specific type of race, they would run these long distances with a torch. And the person who won this race was the person who finished the race, who crossed the finish line with his torch still lit. Now, beloved, here's the legacy that I want to leave. I know that I'm going to cross the finish line. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I have no doubt in my mind that I am going to cross the finish line. But here's the legacy I want to leave, is that when I cross the finish line, I want my torch to still be burning for Jesus. Amen. I want my life to be on fire for Him until the very last breath in which I breathe, where I can be pointing people to Jesus, and the very last words that I'm able to utter to point people to Jesus Christ. I want my torch to be burning on fire for Jesus Christ. That's the legacy that we are to live. Not because we have to, but because we want to, because we get to, because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be our legacy of faith. For those people who are in our family, those people who are closest to us, and those people that we work with, and those people that we go to school with, and those people that are at Sam's and at Starbucks, wherever they may they see in us something that's different, a life of faith, a legacy of loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, mind, and soul. That's the kind of legacy we're to live. Let us be influencing and inspiring and instilling in others what it is to faithfully follow hard after the Lord every step of this race. And when the Lord calls us home, when we see Him, may our torches still be burning bright for Him. Amen? Amen. So one real quick thing to do, and then that's it. Well, actually, that's not it, but that's it for the two thing, all right? The one thing here is just one thing, but it's an important thing. One thing is inspect your life. Inspect your life today. Inspect your life. And as you inspect your life, honestly evaluate the legacy that you are leaving, realizing that the life in which you are living now is the legacy that you will leave behind. So it's so very, very important that we evaluate and inspect our lives today, that we're living this life out, a life of faithfulness, doing what it is that God wants us to do, being faithful and obedient to Him, loving Him, serving Him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. being a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart. You say, well, Pastor, it's just too late for me. No, no, friend, listen. It is only too late when you breathe your last breath. Amen? It is not too late. From this moment on, you can say, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be your servant. I want to follow you. I'm going to be hard after you. I want to stay close to you. I want to be in a relationship with you that's real and personal. And beloved, that can be a legacy that you will leave behind. Turn to Jesus and follow him with devotion, obeying him faithfully. Real quick, I don't normally get the newspaper, but yesterday I did get the newspaper at Starbucks and got me a cup of coffee. It's how I relax. Drink the coffee, read the paper. The coffee was good, paper not so much. But nevertheless, read the paper yesterday. And as reading through the paper, I came across a couple of things. I won't give you the names, but in one section, it talked about a man who is a scientist who had died several months ago, I guess now, whose ashes, he'd been cremated, and his ashes were buried at Westminster Abbey. He was an atheist. He had no faith in God. Very famous man, however, because of the things that he had brought to science and what he had brought to humanity. So they said that's why they allowed him to be buried at Westminster Abbey. Famous man, didn't have a faith, buried at Westminster. I turned the page over and into the obituaries. And as I was looking through, just randomly looking at the obituaries, there was an obituary of an older lady who had lived a long life. I didn't know her. But as I was reading through and looking at it, it told about how she had many family and friends who always loved people, never met a stranger. But it said this about her. And throughout her life, as she was a member of such and such church, her faith never faltered. Her faith never faltered. As I went through the obituary, didn't even list where she was going to be buried. That's interesting. Definitely two contrasts, isn't it? One very famous person, buried in a very famous place, but an atheist, no faith. Another person, I didn't know, never heard of before, buried somewhere but don't know where, but had a faith that did not falter. Beloved, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I was to choose a legacy, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for being famous. I'd rather be the person who had a faith that never faltered. Amen? That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. As we think about this life and what we think this world has to offer us, we go down that path. I'm going after being famous. And if God gives you a platform to be famous and you can use that for God's glory, then so be it. And I'm grateful for that. But hear me. Leaving the legacy is not being famous and having a lot of money. The greatest legacy that you can leave to your children and your grandchildren, the people around you, is a legacy of faith in Jesus Christ. That lasts for eternity. That's where we should spend our time. That's where we should be faithful and be found faithful. Leaving and living that legacy today. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd have your way with us and in us and through us, that we would live the life you want us to live. And that indeed, Lord, we would be people where our faith does not falter. That we'd stay true to you all of our lives, obeying you and being devoted to you with a loyal heart, serving you with a willing mind, with a desire because we want to and get to, not because we have to or must do. So, Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would stir us up to be more like you and to have a greater love for you. And, Lord, that we would follow you and that we'd leave this legacy behind us. Lord, for those that we come in contact with, of people who are hard after the Lord Jesus, who are wanting to serve you and seeking to do whatever it is you want us to do and be whatever you want us to be as we follow your will, being faithful to your call. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd have your way in every heart and life as we come to this invitation. If there are those here who need to say, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, that this would be that time where they'll come and give their heart to you. For those of us, Father, who are your believers, we pray that you'd stir us up, that we would walk away fully surrendered to being yes people for Jesus. Lord, whatever it is you want us to do, we'll say yes. And so, Lord, may you have your way in us as we surrender our lives to you now, decisions that must be made. In Jesus' name, amen.